I want to talk about the rules of life. The cell department is embarking on a new study called Faith at Works, and they've asked me if I could dovetail the message into the curriculum, and I was very happy to do so. I really wanted to talk to you about the Antichrist and the collapse of the world system, but anyway, you got to hear today developing a devotional template. My text for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, and the Apostle Paul said, now watch this please, he said, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceive Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity. Watch this word, simplicity, that is in Christ. Now, without raising your hands, how many of you here know that you ought to pray more, but somehow you're not doing it and you feel a sense of frustration? It could be a result of a lack of personal discipline. It could be a lack of desire, passion. Or maybe you're just too caught up with the daily grind of life that you're left with so little time, so little energy to pray. Now, if that's how you feel today, I want you to know that this message is for you. It's designed and tailor-made to help you grow in your priestly ministry. In the verse that we just read, what was Paul fearful of? He was fearful that in the same way the devil or the serpent tempted Eve or deceived Eve, that our minds will be drawn away from the simplicity of our devotion in Christ. That is the key of life, right there. The simplicity of our devotion to Christ. C.S. Lewis once asked this question. Listen to this. He said, do you want to know how to avoid God? Avoid silence. Avoid solitude. Avoid any train of thought that leads off the beaten track. Concentrate on money. Concentrate on sex, concentrate on health, and above all, your own grievances. Woo! Keep the radio on, live in a crowd, use plenty of sedation. That's pretty sobering, but I think that that is true. My message today is entitled The Rules of Life, and I have a simple maxim for life. It's a four-sentence maxim. Give God the first hour of the day, give God the first day of the week, give God the first tithe of the month, and give God the first consideration in every decision you make. And I'm telling you this, if you will do this, it will be well with you. Now, it's important that at the start of the year, we set first things first. And the last time I checked, first still means first. Amen. And there's no getting around it. If the kingdom of God is not first in your life, then it's second or it's third or somewhere down the list. And if it's not first, then it's not right and you're missing the mark. C.S. Lewis also once said that when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed but increased. In other words, God intensifies everything in our lives, joy, peace, contentment, blessings. Everything is enhanced when we put first things first and in order of our priorities. Now, I want all of you to get this nailed down in your life because your devotion to Christ is all that matters. Amen. Now, my devotions are like my reset button. Because no matter what kind of a day I had before, it might be a great day of victory, or it might have been a day of a dismal failure. But whatever day I've had, ladies and gentlemen, when I walk into that prayer closet every morning, it is like God pushes a reset button and everything is zeroized and His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And at 65, I'm learning that God's not in a rush. I'm learning to slow down, I'm learning to enjoy Him, and I'm learning how to rest. God gave Israel 10 commandments after He delivered them from Egypt, not before. He did not give them the 10 commandments to set them free. He gave them the commandments so that they could stay free. And the commandments are good, they are holy, and they will prosper you. And I wanted just to insert that because there's been a push in some Christian circles to do away with the law. Oh, we're under grace, Pastor. There's no point talking about the law anymore. And when you hear something like that, you know it's an error. The Old Testament is different from the New Testament in the sense that the Old Testament was written on the tablets of stone, but the New Testament is written on the tablets of our hearts and our flesh, and the new nature in you desires to keep the law. The new nature is enabled by the Holy Spirit to keep the law. Amen. So the fourth commandment is the one that has to do with observing the Sabbath. It does not say anything about going to church. But it's important that you come to church, amen, as it was the custom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word Sabbath actually means to cease, to pause, selah, stop. So the Lord says, I don't want you working on the Sabbath. I don't want your family working. I don't want your servants working. I don't even want your cows working. Why? Because God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested and he was refreshed. This is Exodus 31 and verse 17. Now, theologically, that's tough to explain. How could a God who is never tired need to get refreshed? But the word refresh in Hebrew means to breathe in. Take a breath, right? It's to take a breather. What was God doing in the past 6 days? He was creating. How does God create? He spoke. He spoke. He breathed out. He spoke this world into existence. And the Bible says he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. But on the seventh day, he rested. And when he rested, he took a breather. He breathed in and he was refreshed. And so he gave this to us as a principle that we too may learn how to rest, take a breather, and be refreshed. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you have said, boy, I wish I could just catch my breath. Well, you can. You can. Have you learned how to slow down and learn how to take this seriously, your devotional life seriously? Every day, you can take a breath. Hallelujah. You know, God did not bless busy. He blessed rest. Amen. I want to begin by saying that I will never ask you to do anything that I myself am not practicing. I dislike hypocrisy. Jesus warned us about this. He even rebuked the Pharisees, and he talked about the leaven of the Pharisees and rebuked them for their hypocrisy. And he says, you put burdens on people that you won't even lift one finger to try and help them. We have no business trying to get people to do what we ourselves are not doing. Amen. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. People have often asked me, Pastor Young, in your 35 years of ministry, how have you kept the fire burning? 35 years ago, I was preaching like this. I've not changed at all. I've always been passionate and I've always had the fire burning. And my answer is very simple, something Reinhard Bonnke taught me. He said, if you keep the fire burning, the fire will keep you burning. You know, fire has a sell-by date. If you don't feed it, if you don't fan it, eventually it will sizzle out. That is the nature of fire. You got to make sure that you fan the fire and keep the flame of God burning in your heart. And the way to ensure that is you're not compromising on your daily devotions. Amen. And the secret of success is really determined by your daily ritual. If I wanted to know how spiritual you are, all I need to do was to spend a day with you. And in that day, I will find out how well you prioritize your life. There's nothing magic about this. There is no secret sauce. Highly successful people live a life of intentionality. Amen. Now, one of the things that we need to put into practice is a daily routine. And my scripture is Mark 1:35. Now, in the morning, it speaks of a specific time. In the morning, having risen a long while before daybreak, he went out and departed to a solitary place. So you got the time and you got the place. What kind of a place is it? It's a solitary place. And there he prayed. And I want to suggest to you that Jesus had a method of praying, right? And the Bible says, as his custom was to pray every morning. Hallelujah. Now, every morning, ladies and gentlemen, when you wake up, there are a few things you have to do that's necessary for personal hygiene. You shower, you brush your teeth, you gargle with mouthwash, you shave if you're a guy, you put on your makeup if you're a lady, you take your supplements, whatever else that you do on a daily basis. And we do this daily, and we do this habitually, because if we don't, we're going to find some people avoiding us pretty quickly, right? But why is it that we're so meticulous about the body and pay no attention for the soul? Which is more important, the body or the soul? Now, I'm not downplaying the need or importance of the body. The Bible tells us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. It's important. But when you compare the body and the soul has greater value because the soul is an eternal being. Amen. And in the same way, in the spiritual, there are daily routines to keep your soul healthy and clean. And if you will practice these things that I share with you, you'll discover that they're the keys to a blessed life. Now, here's my premise. If your output, this is an original quote, if your output is greater than your input, eventually you will kaput. Eventually you will burn out. No, it's not sustainable in the long run, right? The day is for output. The day is, of course, your work and your ministry, your job, or whatever earns you a salary. That's your output. But the evenings, especially at the start of the day, they are for input. Right? Input is reading, praying, meditation, listening, thinking, solitude. All that is designed to build the inner man. Now, input is as necessary as output because what you put in is going to come out. If you are running on empty, my goodness, there's nothing that you can get out of your reserve. When people say, can you pray for me? There's no faith in you to pray for them. Because you put nothing inside of you. And so you got to ensure solid daily input. Amen. Now, if your input is Netflix or Instagram, TikTok, gossip, that's what's going to come out. I mean, just take a few moments and listen to your non-safe Christian, non-safe friends speak. The way they speak, the things that they talk about, that you watch that show, that you watch this show, that you catch that movie, and or useless mundane things. Why? Because that's all that they're inputting inside of them. David Wilkerson died 14 years ago. He's one of my favorite preachers. He was a hero of the faith. And when David Wilkerson was a young preacher, he had the habit of watching TV from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. in the morning, and he watched the late night show with Johnny Carson. Every night, 2 hours, he would watch the late show with Johnny Carson. One day while he was watching the TV, the Lord spoke to him and dropped the question. He said, what would happen if you sold the TV away and spend those 2 hours praying instead? So David was very challenged. He knew it was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he said to the Lord, I will put my TV up for sale tomorrow. Before 12 o'clock noon, if it's not sold, the deal's off. And so he put the ad on the TV. And he waited. And 11 o'clock, 1 hour before 12, no call. 11:30, no call. 5 minutes to 12 o'clock, a phone rings. He picks up the phone. The man says, I saw your ad. I'm buying the TV. I'm not coming down. Just sell the TV to me. And he knew that that was the Holy Spirit. So he sold the TV in the most miraculous way. He starts praying 2 hours, midnight to 2 a.m. in the morning every day. And he started praying. And while he was praying one morning, there was a magazine on his desk. And he turned and he saw a story of the gangs in New York City. And he read the story, and he wept so much, and a burden came upon him. And that was then the Holy Spirit said, now you go to New York and help those boys. And out of that burden came the cross and the switchblade. Out of that burden came Teen Challenge, one of the great drug rehab ministries in the world. Out of that burden came Times Square Church, and the ministry has impacted millions and millions of people around the world. And everything started when he switched off that TV. I'm not asking you today to go back home and throw your TV away. No, sir. But I'm asking you to start prioritizing your life, especially your prayer life, because everything starts with your prayer life. Everything starts in the prayer closet. It's in your prayer closet that you get the burden of the Lord. And through the burden of the Lord, you get the assignment for your life. And I want to encourage you, the daily devotions must be non-negotiable. Set aside time. And I won't apologize to say this to you. You got to do 30 minutes every day. 30 minutes. You say, Pastor, that might be a bit legalistic. I want to encourage you, if you don't set goals, you will never attain to it. Set 30 minutes. Set your alarm 30 minutes and say, God, I'm going to take the next 30 minutes. I'm not going to walk out of this room until I finish prayer. And do this on a daily basis. It's not a difficult goal to reach if you put some backbone into it, man. Now, allow me to share with you briefly on how to develop a system prayer using a prayer list, all right? I found these principles on my own. They've been very helpful in my own life. Remember the first thing I said, you got to find a specific time to pray. For me right now, it's my study room. The door is always closed because I don't want to be disturbed. My prayer time is between me and my Lord Jesus. And when you are alone with Him, be alone. Be alone. When Jesus spoke about the secret place, this is what he said. He said, but you, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Shut the door, man. Pray to your Father who is already in the secret place. He's waiting for you. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. 35 years of full-time ministry. My secret prayer has moved several times, like the tabernacle, you know. When I first came into ministry, I would go to church early in the morning, 7 o'clock I would come to church, and I would pray for an hour from 7 to 8, and then my staff would come in. I had one staff in those days, and I would pray an hour with him from 8 to 9. I tell you, boy, those years I would hear God so clearly. When you pray 2 hours in the morning, there's something that happens to your sensitivity. And a lot of the foundation that came into this church was because of those early years of prayer. Then for the next few years, it was the East Coast Parkway Beach. We moved quite close to the beach area. And I would take walks every single morning before sunlight. I would go out and I would pray. I would spend a lot of time praying on the beach. I would walk on the beach. I would walk and pray. And I had many encounters there as well. And then it was a park near my house. And I had many encounters with God there as well. And I stopped going to the park because I found myself dodging cyclists and people passing by. It was very difficult for me to pray and express myself aloud to God. Then for a season, it was a 400-meter track in a nearby school. I used to go to that school. And there was a back door, a back gate that I could climb over and go into the school and just walk along the 400-meter track with nobody disturbing me in the mornings and praying. And then it was a nearby park connector, walking up and down the pathway along a canal. Now it's back to my study room. But wherever it was a place that I could be alone with Him and where I could express myself freely and aloud to Him without any disturbance. So find and establish a solitary place where you can pray to your Father in secret. That's the first thing. Number two, you got to establish a definite time of prayer. Andrew Murray says, the man who does not make time for prayer never prays. Now, if you're too busy to pray, my friends, then you're busier than God intended for you to be. Don't try and make time. Find time, all right? You got to make time. You got to set a ring fence around a certain time of the day and reserve it solely for God. Too many of us try to slot in some time during the day. That doesn't work. How do I know that, Pastor? Because I've been there and done that, bought the t-shirt, all right? If you go through the day trying to fit prayer into your busy schedule, you will not do it. And that's going to be the greatest battle that you will face to keep your daily appointment with God. Keep it, I tell you this, and every other battle will be easier. Many years ago, I used to follow an author. His name was Francis Frangipani. And he was in Singapore, told a story, and I never forgot the story. When he started his ministry, he said, I would give the first 4 hours of the morning in just prayer. 4 hours, boy. Whoo! He said, I just loved the Lord with all my heart. And he said, I got famous. People started inviting me. The church started growing. The ministry demand started getting heavier. And the 4 hours went down to 3 hours. The 3 hours went down to 2 hours. The 2 hours went down to 1 hour. And then it went down even lower than that. And he gets a call. And a prophet is on the line. And the prophet said, Francis, I got a word of the Lord for you. I'm coming tomorrow at a certain time to give the word. He was a famous prophet. Francis was so excited. What is God going to say? Am I going to get a global ministry? What kind of a ministry opportunities? And he was excited. And the doorbell knocks on a certain time. And he opens the door and this prophet is there. And all the prophet said was, Francis, the Lord says, I miss you so much. Turns around and walks away. I'm telling you this, your Heavenly Father, He wants to fellowship with you and He misses you so much. And when you don't keep your appointments with Him, He's waiting in the secret place, waiting for you to come to Him. I'm a father. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. I want them to come as often. You know, my family, we meet at least 4 times a week in my home. I mean, they just come and they just enjoy, the fellowship. And it's always great. And this is what the heart of the Father is. He wants your fellowship, hallelujah, come on, amen, amen. Now, the biblical pattern, whether you agree with it or not, is to separate time in the morning, okay? You take a look at the life of Jesus now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daybreak. John Bunyan says, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day. Early rising up is one of the most important disciplines, I think, that we have to cultivate as Christians. We see this all throughout the Bible in the people we admire. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all early risers. That's the common denominator. Jesus, they were all early risers. For 3 years, I used to get up every day for 365 days. I got up at 4:45 a.m. in the morning to pray every single day. People have asked me, Pastor, do you still do this in the morning? I said, I don't. And they said, why? I said, I'm 65, so what's your excuse? But my devotional time is the first priority every single morning when I get up. It's my time with God. I don't have appointments. I try to not to make any appointments in the morning because my mornings are reserved for God. And if you want to know the temperature of the church, always feel the temperature of the pastor. He sets the pace of the race in the church. Amen. Number three, you got to develop a prayer list. I've discovered many years in ministry that when you pray with a prayer list, you're far more effective than if you don't. Psalms 5 in verse 3 says, my voice you shall hear in the morning. In the morning, I will direct it to you. The word direct means to set in order, to arrange. In other words, you have to set in order your prayer time. There are different models of prayer that have been developed by great prayer warriors over the years. I still remember listening to Cho Yong-gi talk about the tabernacle prayer. Larry Lee talked about having to tarry 1 hour with him. You got Madame Guyon, if you're a mystic, if you love the mystical. You've got Brother Lawrence, Andrew Murray, and many others that develop prayer models. But the best ones, I think, are the ones that you develop from your own personal experience. You've got to be comfortable in your own armor. And I say all that to say that this model of prayer that I'm sharing with you right now comes from my own experiences with God, and they have helped me along the way, and it's something that has worked for me, and I just want to share it with you. And over the years, the content of prayer has shifted because I'm different in different seasons of my life, but this is a live document, and the basic structure remains the same, but it's being rewritten all the time, all right? Now, number one, I begin every morning in my devotions by humbling myself. Here's some recommended prayers. Lord, I humble myself before you. You know, if the Lord has to humble you, it's too late. Too late. You got to humble yourself. The Bible says you humble yourself and God will lift you up. Amen. Lord, keep me small in my own eyes. Let me not be wise in my own eyes. Let me not think of myself more highly than I ought to. Lord, you said you hate the arrogant way. Lord, you hate the proud look. You know, there's six things God hates in life. The seven, he said, is an abomination. He says, I hate the proud look. I hate the lying lips. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate hearts that devise wicked things. He said, I hate feet that run to evil. I hate the false witness that tells lies. And this is the thing that he hates most. He said, I hate the one who sows discord in the church among brothers. Wow. So I prayed, Lord, you hate the arrogant way. You hate the proud look. Lord, I remove it from me. Cauterize it from my life, from my heart, Lord. Change me, Lord, because I don't want to be proud. I hate pride. I hate hubris. I hate anything that is boastful. And if you see it in me, it's your responsibility to tell me. Because I really want to take the low road in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I don't know if you watched something on social media last week, I think it was, and a man was preaching. Did you watch that? And he was preaching and he says, I have the greatest anointing on this planet. Nobody in the world has an anointing greater than my anointing. And the wall behind him collapsed on him right the moment he said that. I thought to myself, you and your big mouth, right? Number two, always ask for fresh cleansing. I don't care what kind of a day you had the day before, whether it was a great day and you thought, hey, I'm doing pretty well. I tell you this, if God wanted to find fault with you, there were many things he can point out in your life. So every day we need a fresh cleansing, like a fresh shower to be clean and wash ourselves with the washing of water by the word. We need the blood of Jesus every single day. Amen. And so I stand before God and I said, Lord, I lift up my hands. I said, God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? Am I walking right? Wash me from all my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from my erratic behavior, from my shortcomings. I review the day before him to see if there's anything that I should repent. I recite portions of Psalm 51. And I want to encourage you, my friends, memorize scripture. You know, Psalm 51 is one of the Psalms of David when he sinned with Bathsheba, but it's a Psalm of repentance and it's a Psalm to find your way back to God. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted to thee. Hallelujah. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. This is Psalm 19. Who can understand his errors. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep me also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I'll be blameless. Then I'll be innocent of great transgressions. And then you go back to Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. Listen, memorize scripture so that out of the reservoir of scripture that you have, you can pour things out to God. I'm telling you, at 65, I'm trying to memorize as many scriptures. I just memorized the first 12 verses of Psalms, Proverbs chapter 3. And you know the scripture, my son, do not forsake my law, do not forget my commandment. And if you do that, you'll have a length of days, long life, and peace it will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them on your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. For so you will find favor and high esteem before God and men. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Depart from evil. Do good, and it shall be health to your flesh and strength to thy bones. No, there's some more. I just paused to take my breath. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you, memorize scripture. Memorize scripture, amen. It creates a reservoir where you can draw out from, amen. Number three, ask the fear of the Lord. Every morning I'll stand before God and says, Lord, put the fear of you in me. I choose the fear of God. Isaiah 8:13, one of my life verses. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, him you shall fear. Let him be your dread, let him be your fear, for he shall be a sanctuary to you. Listen, the fear of God is clean and it endures forever, amen. Ask the Lord for the fear of God. Number four, I ask God for wisdom. Nothing more valuable on this planet than wisdom. Did you know that? The Lord says its value is far greater than rubies, hallelujah. In all that getting, get wisdom, get understanding. It's the principle, the number one thing in life. It's more important than anything else. There are two ways into wisdom. You can ask God and he can give it to you. That's the gift of wisdom. Or you can go through the way that God is prescribed in the scripture. It's called the way of wisdom. And you get it in, and you get wisdom through the fear of God. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then I ask every morning for the spirit of revival. This reflects the season I'm in. I feel God saying that my eyes will see revival. You know, I was leading a pastor's prayer this week, and a pastor got up and he prophesied over me. I was really encouraged by that. He said, Pastor Young, at 75, you will do even greater works. Come on, hallelujah. So he extended my life for 10 years. Amen. I pray for revival every single day, and you know, there are people that I admire in revival history, and Evan Roberts is one of them. This is one of the prayers of Evan Roberts. Chaba, I'm so excited. I sometimes when I get so excited, I you know tend to forget things. Right? The prayers of Finney and the praise of Evan Roberts and the prayers of William Seymour, and this is the prayer. Alas, this cross that I must bear, it's not a task for me, for its weight is light, and I desire to do all that you ask for me. I'm turning now to behold thy face, for this is all that matters to me. I lift up my eyes, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. This is one of the prayers. This is a prayer for revival, Evan Roberts. And if I'm going to come into that spirit of revival, I've got to learn their prayers as well. And so I want to encourage you, ask the Lord, because we're in a season of great moves of the Holy Spirit. Number six, I pray for Galatians 2:20. This connects me to the cross. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Memorize it, quote it daily. I ask Brother Bailey. You know, Brother Bailey was a man that had many great experiences with God. Many great. I said, Pastor Bailey, in all the many years that you've walked with Jesus, what is the one greatest experience that you had with Jesus? He said, it was my Galatians 2:20 experience. I said, could you explain it to me? He said, one day I was praying and the Holy Spirit caught me up. He says, Tuck, and the Spirit of God caught me. And I said, I was hanging on the cross with Jesus. I was on the cross with him. I could look down. And I saw the crowd of people. They were mocking him. They were spitting at him. They were making fun of him. And he said, out of that heart of Jesus, he said, I could feel what Jesus was feeling for the people. He said, it was only love and compassion. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Oh, Rabbi Shanda. He said, in that moment, he said, I came to the temple. He said, I saw the temple rent from top to bottom. And our Lord said to me at that moment, he said, and that is the way in to the the Holy of Holies. It's true, the crucified life. Galatians 2:20. He said, that was the greatest experience I've ever had. And I want to encourage you, my friends, to press in and say, God, I want this Galatians 2:20 experience as well. Then number seven, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, the offering of thanksgiving and praise should be weaved into every prayer session. God has not stopped being good. We've stopped being grateful. Amen. Every morning I find 20 things to thank God for. At least 20 things, right? And here's a simple list. If you want them, I can put it in the website for you. I thank God for salvation, for the gift of eternal life, for his mercy, for his grace. I thank God for the righteousness of Christ that wraps itself around me. Romans 5:17. I thank God for the very air that I breathe comes from him. I thank God for the grace of life. I thank God for 65 years of life on this earth. I thank God for calling me into the ministry. I thank God for a roof over my head. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for the inspiration of Scripture. I thank God that he's my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Nisi, my Jehovah Shalom, my Jehovah Tsidkenu, my Jehovah Hosseinu. I thank God he's my Jehovah Rapha, he's my Jehovah Shammah, he's my Jehovah everything else. Amen. I try to memorize all the names of God as well. And so I want to be able to draw out from that reservoir this thanksgiving and praise to God. You know what a thanksgiving spirit does? It purges us from a complaining spirit. Come on. Lee Kuan Yew once said, he said, Singaporeans are world-class complainers. And we need to be purged from that spirit once and for all. Amen. Number eight, take time for praise. And again, there are many scriptures. I can quote you scripture after scripture that I use every day. And again, if you want the list of scriptures that I memorize, you know, Psalms 100, I went to his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Psalms 136, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good and his mercies endures forever. Psalms 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Psalms 105, bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I try to remember praise psalms every day, new ones. New ones. And I want to encourage you to remember. This morning I memorized Psalms 8, the first few verses. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Just remember small little verses so that you can recount them. Amen. And then the next one, I pray for my family. I call them by name every day. Pray John 17 over them. I speak the blood of Jesus. I pray for his angels to give charge over them as well. And then the next one is I pray for those things that God has given me, oversight and authority. I pray for the church. I pray for CCS. I pray for the CGN. I pray for the Bible College of Wales. I pray for the Alliance of Pentecostal Charismatic Churches, for the Festival of Praise, anything that God has given me in oversight. And when I pray for the church, I have different prayers. One of them I use is Psalms 144. And I decree no cancer, no premature deaths, no abortions, no suicides. And you know that prayer. I've done this many times. And then 11 is important, is introspection. I don't believe in serendipity. I really believe that everything is ordained by God, the people I meet in my life. And so I recall the things I've done yesterday, the people I meet, try to pray for them, try to remember every item of the day so that, you know, the Bible says, I think it was, no, I'm just not, it's not the Bible. I think it was... who said that the unexamined life is not worth living? Somebody famous. Okay, and then the next two, last two things are the most important things. Holy Communion. My friends, I want to encourage you. Please, listen to me. Listen to me. Have communion every day. Have communion every day, and you will thank me one day in your life when you can draw on the reserve of the faithfulness in that you have honored the blood of the Lamb and honored the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is not difficult. Every morning, have communion. It won't take too long, just a few minutes. But it will do something to you that you will never regret for the rest of your life. Have communion every day. And the blessings that come out of the communion, my goodness, wow. And finally, you got to learn how to say the Lord's Prayer every day. In the Didache, which is a statement of the Lord's people, the early church, they prayed the Lord's Prayer three times a day, not religiously, but they circled around that prayer. Very important. I want to encourage you every day to pray the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples came and said to Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so these are some of the prayers that I have. There are a few others that are personal and I won't share with you, but these are some of the important premises and guidelines that I use in my prayer to help you along the way. And I want to suggest some time, of course, to pray in the Spirit. And then you end everything by reading God's Word, because the entrance of light brings light. Let's all stand in the presence of God. Amen. So I've given you some stuff. I'm going to put most of these things in the website. And you can just download, and if it helps you, if you have your own prayer model, go for it. But you know, these are some things that have really helped me over the years. Now, everything begins with desire. Desire. Some of you say, Pastor, I want to pray. I have a desire. You know, this is what the Lord said to Reese Howells. He said, Lord, I'm willing, but I don't know if I can do it. And the Lord says, are you willing to help me to make you be willing? Hallelujah. Come on. And I just pray, Lord, may you give desire to these people, passion. It starts with desire. But you know, desire alone is not enough, because if you don't have the discipline, you won't see it through. You will stop halfway. So it starts with desire. It continues into the second stage, and that's discipline. And I've done this for 35 years, every day, all right? No compromise on your daily devotions. Are there days where you struggle? Definitely. But this is the daily routine of my life. So when you've done it so many years, it becomes easier, right? And then the next stage you go into is a delight. When you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, I can't wait to be with Jesus. You're getting somewhere. You're getting somewhere. I can't wait to be with Jesus. Got to get up quickly. I want to just go to the prayer closet. I want to just hang out with Him. I just want to, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord loves you. Just tell Him your day. I don't know what, sometimes you talk to the Lord, and you know, when I'm in my car, I just talk to Him. I said, Lord, yesterday I had a really good day, and you know, I know I messed up here, I messed up there. Will you forgive me? Lord, I thank you for the 10, 15 service. They are usually so quiet. I don't know why, but I still love them, Lord. just tell Him everything, right? Lord, I thank you. Sometimes I even tell them, Lord, I just had the greatest lunch. Thank you so much. It was so good. Thank you, Lord, for blessing. Just tell Him your day. He just wants to listen. He wants to know your day. Amen. And then you can say to Him, Lord, tell me about your day. Well, I just saved millions of people here, and I don't know what day he has had, but he really wants to talk to you. Really wants to talk to you. He wants to spend time with you. I know this. I'm a father. I just sometimes want my kids to, you know, talk to me and talk intelligently to me. You know, Dad, did you watch that Korean? Oh my goodness, grow up! Come on, what's the matter with you all? You know. I'm waiting, you know, sometimes at dinner, I'm waiting in my house. Sometimes I'm quiet, and Dad, you're quiet. I'm waiting for you to ask us an intelligible question. Anyway, preach it, Pastor, preach it. So I want to encourage you, move from desire, discipline, delight. Father, I love these people, Lord. They're your people. My job is to make sure that they're strong and healthy. When we first started the church, Lord, I know and I confess that numbers was a big deal, Lord. We tracked the numbers. We wanted to be a big church. We wanted to be an influential church. Oh, Lord, we talked about being an apostolic church with touching all the nations. I know all that is good. But more than all of that, Lord, you want this church to be a healthy church. You want this church to be a holy church. You want us not just to be concerned about those that are coming in, but to take care of those who are already in. Sometimes I sit down in the service and I look behind and I see a few empty chairs and I said, Lord, I sure hope you fill them. And you know what He always says to me? Eyes on me. Eyes on me. Don't look at anybody else. Eyes on me. Amen. And that always encourages me. Always encourages me. So I want to encourage you, my friends, take some time to be with the Lord. He loves you and He wants your company. And we want the pleasure of His company too, by the way. So, Lord, we stand before you and we ask that you bless your people. And I pray, God, that this year will be the best year for many of them, most of them, that they will find a place of a solitary place at the right time of the day in the morning, and that they will follow and develop a prayer, disciplined prayer life that will bring them into a great place of favor and blessings in their lives. Now, bless them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and grant you His peace. And so may God put His name on you forevermore. And the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a big praise.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.